everything.
Hello, I'm Lauren Laverne, and this week I'm embarking on an After Dark adventure as I'm taking the helm of Late Night Woman's Hour. Over the next 4 weeks, Jane Garvey and I will present live late night conversation on a variety of topics: dating and relationships, secrets and lies, lust and fantasy, drinking, identity and sexuality. You can be sure of mischievous, fun and lively late night chat. We kick off tonight when I'm joined by author and game designer Naomi Alderman to discuss how women are reclaiming the nerdiverse. Join me, Lauren Laverne, for Late Night Woman's Hour, starting tonight at 11 here on BBC Radio 4, then available to download with the BBC iPlayer radio app.
And now on Radio 4, the return of our drama series, Red and Blue. Tim Woodward stars as the war game exercise writer Bradley Shoreham. Shoreham normally spends his working life creating mayhem and disaster, all in the name of civilian and military planning. But today he's been invited to do something rather less stressful. Or so he thinks.
Red and Blue, The Futurist by Philip Palmer, with Tim Woodward as Bradley Shoreham.
Are you ready to order?
Yes. What would you recommend?
Oh, for pity's sake, he'll have the pâté and the steak.
There is no pâté, and I looked in vain for steak.
Foie gras and sirloin coming up. How would you like your steak, sir?
Rare, bloody. He's a savage.
Rare would be good. Not quite bloody. Grr.
Very good, sir. Madam?
Salad, toast, Dom Pérignon, one glass, not fluted. A pint of Tetley's for my companion.
Madam?
They don't serve Tetley's, I looked.
There's a pub 2 blocks away, 38 floors by lift, then a brisk stroll for the kitchen porter. No real hardship for a young lad.
As my mother used to say, this is how the other half lives.
Half?
1%.
0.1%.
I do like the view. And yet, it's hardly popular, this place, is it?
I booked the entire restaurant, all 3 floors.
For lunch? For 2?
I hate background noise.
We could have met in my office. Sandwiches, mineral water.
I don't drink mineral water. Never have, never will. Water should be free. It should not be bottled and sold. That's the old Marxist in me coming out.
Tap water, then?
No, taps aren't hygienic. I only drink reverse osmosis filtered water. I need to be sure that all the nitrates, hardness and estrogen are taken out. And I insist it has to be chilled overnight.
It strikes me that you're a princess from another age, accustomed to extreme precision about the alignment of her pee.
Was that an insult?
What do you think?
I wasn't sure. You're a soldier, but you don't talk like a soldier. The princess and the pee, was that the illusion?
It was.
You're saying I'm a spoiled, self-indulgent old harridan? Hence, from another age. Was that the insult you intended?
It was.
Then for pity's sake, say as much in plain English. Spit it out. Call me an evil old bitch. That's what you're thinking, isn't it?
I'm thinking many things. Please don't presume to read my thoughts.
I make you uncomfortable.
I find you intriguing in a, yes, discomforting kind of a way.
20 years ago, I was a very beautiful woman.
Really? Who told you that?
Very well. 40 years ago, I was a very beautiful woman.
Oh, beautiful now. Fine bone structure, elegant. Underfed, though. Do you diet, or are you anorexic?
I had stomach surgery 3 years ago. They took out a sack full of cancer, and now I have to use a colostomy bag. It takes the edge off eating somehow.
I wasn't aware of that.
You didn't do your homework, then.
Oh, here we are. Now, drinks. I did do my homework. No mention of bowel cancer, no mention of surgery. Even your facial work is unacknowledged by the gossip columns. Though I'm glad you kept those crow's feet around your eyes. They add a touch of character.
Dom Pérignon.
Thank you. I've never had cosmetic surgery. I do not look... Ah.
And for you, sir, Tetley's beer.
I would have settled for a glass of house white, you know.
Some amuse-bouche?
Not for me.
Very nice, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Madam?
Why the R?
Hmm?
You said R.
Did I?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, you did.
Ah.
Meaning?
What?
What was the significance of your R? The first R. Not... No, this is going nowhere.
It was just an R.
Was it?
No, it wasn't. It was an R. I get you, R.
An R that implies you've rumbled me, you mean?
Yes, you were insulting me, getting me riled, taunting me, criticising my weight, my looks,
You are, in my opinion, one of the most morally contemptible people alive on the planet today. The fact that you're an elderly lady with an eating disorder is neither here nor there.
I don't have an eating disorder. I just don't have much stomach
left. You're also one of the cleverest and most inspirational people alive on the planet today. I've studied you for many years, Alessandra. May I call you Alessandra?
Well, it's my name.
One forgets that. With people like you, it's always the whole package, as it were. Rupert Murdoch, Bill Gates, Richard Branson, Alessandra Pacetti.
Call me Alessandra. I like you, Bradley. You take no crap. I like that. You're smart. I like that, too.
My name is Bradley Shoreham. I used to be a soldier. Now I work for a large private company that runs war games.
With respect, Alessandra, what the hell am I doing here?
I spent years as a war game exercise writer. The simulation of wars and disasters. That's my métier. These days, I specialize in civilian wargaming. Everyone does it now. Corporations, government departments, construction firms. They plan and act out potential catastrophes in structured role-play exercises, because that's the best way to contain or even prevent major crises. And I'm good at my job. Very good. And I'm not often at a loss.
Let's not talk business yet.
I've saved the world 100 times or more. And now I'm dining in one of the most expensive restaurants in London with a powerful woman who appears to want me. But I don't know what for.
Very well. So what shall we talk about?
You could tell me about yourself.
I don't do that. It's a thing I do not do.
Or we could talk about me. That's always fun.
Alessandra Pacetti, the richest woman in the world, if you don't count the Queen, and possibly even if you do. 71 years old, hedge fund baroness, owner of 6 banks and a merchant navy fleet, commodities trader.
I know all that I need to know about you. That topic holds no further interest. Let's find something else to talk about.
Oh, and I thought I was an enigma.
There are 6 biographies of you in print.
But they don't capture the real me.
They capture a variety of real yous.
I've never read them. Are they good? And no, don't tell me.
Your lawyers have read them, I assume?
Who knows? The Patterson one was the worst.
Oh, that would be the one that focuses on the unscrupulous workings of your hedge fund, and in particular your involvement in the Asian currency speculations of 97.
A legitimate trade.
You short-sold the baht and the ringgit. The economies of the Far East collapsed. You were accused of being... Oh, now, let me see if I had this right. A moron by the Malaysian Prime Minister.
That was George Soros. I was called the devil incarnate in pearls.
I stand corrected.
Water off a duck's back to me.
The early chapters are the best in all the volumes. The sections about you and Oscar.
Ah, he was my great love, you know. My husband, Oscar. You know all about him, then?
I know what was in the biographies. I wouldn't think that was all.
He was graceful. A fine dancer. Left-handed. His father was an historian. He liked jazz. We both did. We used to go to Ronnie Scott's. He had a terrible sense of direction. Couldn't read a map to save his life. He once crashed our car while he was daydreaming. He wrote a fabulous book about Gramsci. Did you know all that?
Yes.
He was a radical. We both were. I was an idealist, a card-carrying Marxist. That was me in my LSE days.
I know that too.
Oh, we were going to change the world. We lived frugally. I never borrowed money from my family. Even when Oscar crashed the car, I didn't. We had it patched up by a friend who worked in a garage. Real botched job. One yellow door on a blue car. Quite a sight. But then my father died.
Yes, yes, yes.
Am I boring you?
A bit.
And yet you ought to be flattered. Someone like me, opening up to you, telling you stories about...
You're telling me facts. I know the facts. I know how you built the business up, how you turned an ailing Italian car factory into a global giant, how you gambled your fortune not once, but 6 times, and each time came out richer. I know how grief-stricken you were when Oscar died, how you raised a child alone, a single mother running a financial empire. I know how you felt
when my son died. Have you any idea how awful that was for me? Our son. Oh, our beloved David. He was only 38 years old. I loved him so much. But it all got too much for him. Life crushed his tender spirit and he killed himself.
I know. I read about it. Yawn.
You bastard.
Oh,
How dare you? He died. Do you hear me? He killed himself. Left me alone.
He was mentally unstable. He killed himself. Big deal. It happens. Didn't stop you, though, did it? Didn't even slow you down. 2 weeks after David topped himself and you were back in business, big time. Buying up
everything. Stop it.
Oh, dear, I've upset you.
Yes.
Well, then I should be ashamed of myself for distressing a vulnerable elderly woman like you in such an appalling fashion.
You should.
And yet I'm not.
You're the most hard-hearted, insensitive and odious man I've ever met.
Oh, I find that hard to believe. Idi Amin.
Oh, that was... Don't raise that. You're a pig, a monster, to treat an old woman like this, to taunt me about my traumas.
Knock it off, Alessandra. You're not fooling me. You're not fooling yourself. There's no one else here except the waiter. He's gone. Somewhere. Ah, that's progress. We've gone from R to M. And what does that signify, the M?
It signifies stop this. Stop decoding my every breath. You're an impossible man to talk to.
Men are charmed by you, aren't they? Women, too. You're beautiful even now, and magnificent, a relic of another era, and your Versace dress and your Mickey Moto pearls. But you're emotional, too. You open up with intimate disclosures about yourself. You cry at the memories of the terrible things that have happened to you. And then you do the deal, and you laugh all the way to the bank.
It's not Versace, idiot. It's Caroline Herrera.
I stand corrected.
You play a dangerous game.
Not really. I once served in Baghdad in the early days of Desert Storm. I was shot by a sniper. Now, that was a dangerous game.
Oh, I'm sorry, of course. That's why your arm...
I can drink left-handed now.
Forgive me. You need a refill. Another?
Stop showing off. Don't send the garçon running 10 streets to buy a pint of warm beer in order to socially belittle me. Dom Perignon champagne in a large, unfluted glass will do very nicely.
I like you.
I thought you were angry with me.
I don't get angry. That was just pretense.
You don't get angry? You don't get upset?
Not very much, no. That was all, as you surmised, just a cheap trick to put you on the back foot. Didn't work. 30 love in your favour.
You don't get angry. You don't get upset. You just get rich.
I'm rich enough.
Are you?
Yes. This isn't about money. It's about... I have a proposition, you see, to put to you. Come and work for me, Bradley. I want to save the world. I want to save the lives of starving children. I want to make the planet a better place. I want to do good. I want to be good in the remaining years of my life. And I want you to show me how to do it. Help me. Please. My grandson, Mark.
Pleased to meet you, Colonel Shoreham.
Call me Bradley, please.
Left-handed handshake.
My trademark, in a manner.
Iraq, Second Gulf War, sniper bullet.
I wasn't a sniper as such, it was... You've been reading up on me.
Yes. Yes, I have. My favourite was the global pandemic exercise you ran. Dr. Alicia Hoffman, that was a triumph by all accounts.
She lectures now around the world. Pandemic patrol, not just Ebola, not just avian flu.
You keep in touch, then?
We correspond.
Correspond?
We write letters to each other.
Good God.
In longhand, 10 pages or more. I write a letter, post it, she reads it. 10 days or a month later, I get a reply. We range quite freely. I like Alicia.
It was an impressive exercise. I read the briefs twice, and all the after-action reviews, of course. I thought they would be, dry and dusty, but it was like... Every person had a point of view, an attitude, like characters in a novel.
Like people, Mark.
Characters in a novel are like people too. That's where it starts.
And the Hamilton finance exercise. I like the way...
So is that all the small talk done?
That wasn't exactly small talk.
Yes. I can be a bit overprepared sometimes, I know.
I find it charming. I'm a bit that way myself. I also like Verdi's operas, freshly baked bread, and 7 of your top 10 films.
You Facebooked me?
And Googled you, Twittered you, spoke to your fellow activists in Earth Red Alert. The modern curse. No getting to know you. We already know so much.
Are you in or out?
I'm in.
Good. You'll brief us for 40 minutes, then the waiter will come and take our order.
I hate lunch meetings. Why can't we just have sandwiches?
I have to eat small meals regularly. It's my regime. You can always order a salad.
When there's fillet steak for free? What red-blooded man could do that?
I'm vegan, actually.
Yes, yes, we all know that.
Sorry.
No, I mean, I didn't mean... No matter. They fled, you know, from Russia, the pogroms. They walked all the way through Russia and ended up in Hungary. Desperate poverty. They were aliens in every sense, but they kept their faith, lent their money. They did it the hard way.
What? Who are you talking about?
The Sterns, of course. I'm talking about the Sterns. The Jewish bankers who built the central London banking hall that houses this magnificent oak-paneled dining room. They were old-school bankers fleeing persecution. Their word was their bond. They became one of the greatest global finance families in the world. I'm sorry, I digress.
We bought the Sterns out, didn't we?
Yes, you did. Your vampire squid of a hedge fund moved in and took over a business.
Mark, don't be impertinent.
You're an asset stripper. Shame on you.
Continue, Bradley.
You're a modern robber baron. You're everything that is rotten and stinking in today's society, but you're rich, and that's why I came to work for you. That's why Bradley's here. You're rich, and we want your money to achieve our own altruistic ends. End of story.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Or would you prefer a hug?
Hell no. Oh, I'm committed. I've created the Global Future Foundation, so yaboo to Bill Gates with his African charities. I'm the one who's going to save the world. I need some water. Press the buzzer. Call the waiter.
You haven't touched the water in front of you.
It'll be warm by now. Press the buzzer. Call the waiter.
Fresh water, please. Filtered, the way my grandmother likes it.
Yes, of course. Anything for you, sir?
No, thank you.
Coffee for me. Black, strong.
Very good.
So, brief me, Bradley. The world is a disaster movie. What do we propose to do about it?
Well, that's not for me to say, Alessandra. I'm an analyst, a scenario writer. Or, as we used to say in the old days, a war gamer.
A futurist. That's your official job title, right?
I have it as a plaque on the door of my office. Bradley Shoreham, futurist. I feel like a character in an H.G. Wells story.
You don't have a plaque. You don't have an office. The new building hasn't yet...
I'm teasing.
Ah.
Roguishly.
Ah.
You can tell when I'm teasing. There's a twinkle in my eye. I adopt a raffish air.
I'll look out for those symptoms in future.
The world is in a state of crisis, and that is why we're here. The inaugural meeting of the charitable wing of your evil empire, Miss Pachetti.
Don't push it.
Is it a solvable crisis? Yes, I believe so. Will it be solved? I seriously doubt it. Human nature, you see, that's what we can't get over. Human nature. That's what we're up against.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's... No, that's rubbish.
Is it? Why? You think that left to themselves, people would live as one with their environment? In harmony? In union with nature? And that it's only our modern capitalist society
yes,
that...
Yes, yes, yes. No, no. Don't put words in my mouth.
I apologise.
I hate that phrase. Human nature. We've been brainwashed by our society to expect certain... I'm not putting this well.
No, you're not.
No, quiet! Don't...
What? What? If you have something to say, spit it out.
Tell me about Alaska, Mark.
Well, the scale, the size. The Tongass is the largest forest in America. One of the largest in the world. Trees as far as the eye can see, mountains capped with ice. And they're despoiling it, of course. One of our last wildernesses. They were trying to build a road, it's the usual trick, build a random road and redefine wilderness as not wilderness, but we blocked it. It was a triumph. And it was beautiful there, Bradley. So beautiful. I sat up in a tree for a month, pissed and crap through the branches. A month without words. It was...
Can we keep to the point, please?
Sorry.
May we order some food now? I'm getting peckish.
Work first. What are the crises facing us? Thank you.
One. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
One. Global warming leading to massive climate excesses, such as creation of deserts, drought, hurricanes, wildfires, and massive floods that will wipe entire cities and islands off the map. I'm talking now about the Maldives, the Seychelles, Bahamas, as well as large portions of Manila, Alexandria, Lagos, Dakar, Rio, Miami, and Ho Chi Minh City. And a deluge that will swamp most of Bangladesh, whose citizens will be unable to escape because of the fence that India is currently building around their entire country, protected by trigger-happy armed guards who have no qualms about shooting children. Now that's what I call forward planning. The consequences thereof, which I count as point two, mass migration from the affected areas as the destitute and oppressed flee to lands where there is food and some degree of social order, leading to social unrest. Three, Islamic extremism, the growth of a new caliphate hostile to the West. Four, the growth of American hegemony, wars of conquest and domination supposedly to combat the radical Islamic threat. Five, the collapse of the financial systems caused by the continuing greed of the banks, leading to a loss of confidence and riots, exacerbated by the endless bloody rain. Six, nuclear war. Always there is a murmur in the background, but increasingly likely as old stocks are sold off and new technologies allow smaller states and terror groups to join the nuclear club. Seven, pandemic. That old stalwart. A global infection that smites the world, making the flu pandemic of 1918 look like a minor sniffle. Eight, class war. The threat that dare not speak its name. Sooner or later, the people get fed up and start to kill their masters. Eight major threats to civilization and life as we know it. The eight horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yes, but what about Iran, Russia? The population explosion, food shortages, left-wing terror groups.
Eight is a nice round number.
I see Bradley's strategy, Gran. You can't model without simplifying.
And with these models, you can predict the future?
We can develop scenarios.
But what about solutions? Your job description is clear. You're meant to save the world.
Oh, my God. You expect a lot, don't you? I haven't even resigned from my old job yet.
I want you to hit the ground running.
Oh, I love it when corporate types who spend all day with their asses stuck in a chair use that metaphor.
Are you patronising me?
Gran.
You don't patronise me, and you don't call me Gran.
Get off your old high horse. We're just talking, spitballing. Nothing will ever get achieved if we have to salute and call you sir all the time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I didn't mean to be pompous.
You're forgiven.
Oh, Malcolm Hamilton told me you play this game. You provoke, make people emotionally volatile, then test their ability in action. Stress testing, it's called?
I'm just an annoying old git, really. I don't know where this Machiavellian genius malarkey came from.
Can we just stick to the topic in hand?
No, we can't, Mark. But out, baby. I'm quarrelling with your grandmother.
Do carry on, Bradley.
With what? My presentation?
No. With the critique of my integrity that I can sense you're bursting to unload upon me.
I'll take that as permission to speak freely. How serious is this venture, Alessandra? This Global Future Foundation? Are you truly committed to the cause? Or are you just out to placate your estranged grandson by buying him the biggest train set in the world?
I had wondered that myself, actually.
You haven't spoken to Mark in 15 years. Not since his father died. And then out of the blue, you get in touch with your grandson and offer him millions of pounds to make his dreams come true. You ask him to abandon his activism and come and play with serious money and change the world from the inside out. What boy could resist that?
I'm not a boy.
Are you stress-testing me? Because I don't break. I buckle, I bend, I do not break. If I choose not to lose my temper, I do not lose my temper. Look, here is me not losing my temper.
It's a fair question, Gran.
Don't call me Gran!
It's a fair question, Alessandra. It's one that I've asked myself, but I didn't have the balls to say it, to ask it.
Which answer do you want me to give?
The true one.
Oh, hell. That's a new experience. The truth, Mark? I don't give a damn about global warming. I don't give a damn about the rights of women in Afghanistan or the drinkability of water in southern Sudan. I don't give a damn about the future of the world. And do you know why?
Well, I wasn't expecting... What do you mean you don't give...
Do you know why I don't give a damn?
Well, obviously I don't. And don't make me answer your stupid rhetorical question.
Do you know why I don't give a damn?
No, I do not know why you don't give a damn.
Because I'm old, Mark. Old. I'm old and rich. And I have many friends. Lovers, too. No, don't look so shocked. I'm not lonely. I'm not sad. But the love of my life, he died. You both know that story. And we had a son. Your father, David, my little boy. I loved him. People think I'm not capable of love, but I... When he killed himself, I was devastated, though I wasn't surprised. Your mother hated me. She wouldn't let me see you. I could have sued for access and won, but I chose not to. It would have been so easy for me with my resources, with what I knew about her. I could have crushed the little bitch. I'm sorry. She was so... unfair. But I took it on the chin. And now she's passed away, and I have a grandson who I don't know, and you hate me too. Everyone does. People name tumours after me, allegedly. Can you imagine living with that much hatred? That's what I have to endure. But what the hell? I am what I am. But I have one regret, that I never got to know my grandson. And now, here you are. And I win. I get to spend time with you. I've given you a team of brilliant thinkers. Your budget is virtually unlimited. You can live your dream. And I'm your non-executive director, so you're legally obliged to see me on a regular basis. Legally obliged. How sad is that?
Okay. I get it. Don't cry, Gran. Gran, don't cry.
Oh, for pity's sake, don't call me.
Let me hold you. Let me cuddle you. God, you're so thin.
Oh, you're so flattering.
I love you. I love you, Gran. I love you, Alessandra.
I love you too, Mark.
Right. Now that's all resolved, I think a bite of lunch would be in order.
Mark, press the buzzer.
Yes. Alessandra.
The Global Future Foundation. Report into the state of our planet. General introduction. The Eight Horsemen. In this section, we will outline a systems analysis of the interlocking threats which... Chapter 3. The Polar Vortex and its effect on the climate in the Northern Hemisphere. The vortex is a massive structure which reaches out into space, into the stratosphere. Chapter 22. Other potential crisis scenarios. Let us suppose there is a disaster involving fracking technology that leads to a class action suit against companies around the world. An earthquake in Kansas, perhaps, or sinkholes in Florida that destroy an entire primary school.
I suppose you think I'm a hypocrite.
Not at all.
Taking the king's shilling.
It's the queen's shilling, and I took it myself. Of course, I understand.
My girlfriend, well...
Yes?
She's not actually my girlfriend anymore. Or rather, she is, but no, she isn't. Well, is she my girlfriend if we occasionally have sex? But no, I shouldn't be... Oh.
She thinks you're selling out.
She implied it. Well, she said it, in fact, with swearing.
People still talking about selling out? I thought those Marxist days...
Oh, more than ever. I mean, people my age, we see the world. We see the mess your generation...
Don't blame me for the mess of the world.
Your generation... Your class.
Let's not talk about politics.
Why not?
Because
Because what?
Ask me to build a bridge and I will build it.
The politics of whether bridges should be built, well, I can't be doing with it.
But what you're doing now is politics.
No, it's not.
You're building a brave new world or something, challenging the status quo.
I'm exploring all the credible options, the decisions that need to be made in order that people far cleverer than I can fail to make them.
Yeah? That's quite funny, actually. Do you know, Bradley, I didn't like you at first. I thought you were, well, old-fashioned, pompous, annoying.
Mark, you really didn't need to tell me that.
Oh, really? No, but I do like you now.
That doesn't lessen the sting.
Do you think we can change the world?
No.
Then why bother? I want to change the world. I've been an activist since I was 16. I was beaten up in my first nuclear power station protest. My best friend turned out to be an undercover FBI officer. That was in Tonga, so now I don't even have a best friend. That's been my life until now.
Now you sit in an office on the 20th floor of a city tower block with your name on a door plaque.
My nickname. It's a gesture.
Digger.
Mm. The diggers were...
I know who the diggers were. Mark.
What?
I don't disapprove of you, you know.
Well, I don't care if you do.
But I don't.
Oh, well, good.
I like you, Mark. I actually do like you. So relax.
Relax?
Yeah, you're so jumpy around me. It makes me... It doesn't matter.
Chapter 42. The towing of icebergs has proved to be problematical. As common sense might have indicated, the iceberg will tend to melt in warmer waters. Hence, it is more viable to use bag-and-drag technology, towing acres of water in polyester bags across the ocean.
Volume 2. We're on volume 2.
Champagne?
I don't drink champagne.
I'm not drinking beer. We'll send out for champagne.
What about the staff? We can't have, you know, other quants who have been doing all the grunt work don't get, you know.
Champagne all round.
There follows an indexed list of the corporations that have been acquiring land in Ukraine, Egypt, Madagascar, and other parts of Africa. One company, Westingley Holdings, now owns 2 million acres of land in a region irrigated by an offshoot of the Nile. This company also owns shares in a merchant bank, whose non-executive directors include 3 former members of the regional government. It is also the case that this company...
Yes, Mark?
This can't be right.
What? What can't be right?
This scenario, chapter 54, it's too optimistic, too...
An unexpected cooling effect leading to the reversal of the pattern of global warming...
Leading to world peace without any reduction in carbon emissions.
It is possible. The climate has its...
It's impossible.
It's unlikely. The equivalent of a man with terminal cancer experiencing a complete remission. But miracles sometimes happen.
Oh, you're not seriously suggesting...
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just exploring scenarios.
But you don't really think...
Oh, hell no.
I take the point.
What point?
You wrote this just for me. To piss me off. Challenge my prejudices, am I right?
To a degree, yes. This is an exercise in rationality. You can't start off by knowing the answers.
But according to most of your scenarios, well, almost all of your scenarios...
Things are bleak. Mostly. But don't forget, there's always a silver lining, like it or not. Some countries, and indeed some corporations, will benefit hugely from the climate chaos. I mean, Greenland will become rich as the ice melts and a new country rich in minerals and oil is born. Canada will get an economic boost because it has such vast reserves of fresh water. The US and Russia will start drilling for oil in the Arctic as new navigation channels spring up. When the weather apocalypse hits, there will be winners, and not every nation will be a loser.
Well, that's... It's hard to accept.
It's life.
Some corporations will benefit too, you say?
Potentially, yes.
How? How?
In addition, Insurance and reinsurance companies stand to benefit if the events described in the preceding scenario come to pass. For if there are floods and tsunamis on such an epic scale, the disaster insurance business may turn out to be one of the most lucrative commercial endeavors in the history of capitalism.
Bradley.
Alessandra. You actually live here?
Why shouldn't I?
It's an office block. Not even a new one. Not even very tall. You can't even see the London Eye from here, let alone St. Paul's.
I like it.
It's 1970s brutalism.
It's large. I have the whole building. My staff have the first four floors. Domestic staff, secretarial staff. I have a chef, a kitchen, a personal office and a home in one easy-to-ignore building.
But you live on this floor?
Yes.
And it's a 12-storey building?
Yes.
Which means there are seven floors between you and the nearest human beings?
Yes.
Did anyone ever tell you that you have intimacy issues? Well?
What? What do you want me to say? Then I'll say it. How could you betray me like this?
Are we talking methodology? How I did it, how I hacked your computers, how I acquired a massive dossier detailing the murky manipulations of a Global Future Foundation research project?
How could you betray me after all I've done for you?
What have you done for me?
I paid you large amounts of money.
And?
There is no and, that's it. Why does there have to be an and? I suppose what I really mean is, why did you betray me?
Perhaps you weren't paying me enough money.
Really?
No! Alessandra, I'm sorry. I'm so truly sorry about what happened to Mark. I can't tell you how sorry I am.
Don't apologise, you evil, sick, twisted...
If that's what you think, why...
You killed my grandson. You came into my life, took my money, then you killed my grandson.
That's not exactly
what... So do me the courtesy of plain words.
Very well. At first, you must understand this. I believed you. I believed every word. I believed...
Get to the point.
You lied.
No, I didn't lie.
You omitted to tell the whole truth.
I meant every word. We could have done so much good. Futurism. The credible anticipation of future events. The oil companies. They were the pioneers, you know, of this kind of far-reaching global scenario writing.
I know all that. Oil companies take the long-term view. They hire the best. It was oil company futurists who predicted the fall of communism, the rise of Muslim extremism. They saw global warming coming a long time ago. The oil company futurists make the governments and the universities and the science fiction writers look like a bunch of amateurs.
And they make money.
Knowing the future helped them make money, yes.
And I make money.
But that was the point. The whole point. That for once in your life, you were not trying to make a quick buck.
But it's an opportunity. Don't you see? Climate change, I mean. Perhaps the greatest investment opportunity of all time. Desalinization, land deals, new energy technologies. There are millions, billions, trillions to be made. But to do that, you need the data. Precise data. Modelled data. Modelled data that has been stress tested to take account of the human element. Because there will most certainly be a human element when the climate tips, when the ice melts, when the rain falls, when the land becomes arid, when the crops die. It has to be modelled, and the work has to be overseen by a master of the craft, a futurist who knows the vagaries of human psychology.
I feel cheap. I feel I've been used.
Used, yes. Cheap, no. Look at your bank balance.
Oh, I tithe 10% of all you've paid me to charity. But that's not the point. You set this whole venture up to make a profit out of tragedy. That's what I told Mark. That's what I explained to your grandson before he died. The fact is, you stand to make more money out of this than on any other deal you or any other trader has ever made.
Potentially, yes.
Because you're using my data to predict who the global losers will be, and you're betting against them. You're shorting stocks in the companies that will fail, laying bets against the currencies of countries that will be devastated by floods or by drought or by civil war. That's what I can't forgive. You're making bets that would pay up for you when millions die. You are short-selling the coming apocalypse.
Oh, you're being whimsical again. It's not the apocalypse. It's just, well...
What?
A global catastrophe. Potentially. But all I'm doing is taking a position. A series of positions. Our investments could fail. The world could come to its senses. Emissions may be reduced. The carbon footprint may shrink. We may get away with it, in which case the world will be a better place and I'll be happy.
Or millions may die.
Well, then I'll be less happy, but much richer.
No, no, I won't allow it. I have my dossier, and by this time tomorrow, every major newspaper and TV station in the UK and the USA will
no.
be...
No. You are officially served, Bradley. Super injunction. No paper will print what you say.
I'll do an Edward Snowden. I'll use the bloggers. I'll let it go viral.
No, you won't. You won't dare. You know what happened to Chelsea Manning and to Snowden. You're too selfish to want that for yourself.
But what you did was wrong. And I can prove it. I have copies of emails. I have memos. I have...
Yes, but you're legally barred from disclosing any of them.
Yes. Yes, I am.
You knew this would happen. You knew I would block you with all the lawyers at my disposal. That's why.
Yes, that's why I went to Mark first. Before approaching the press. Mark could have done something from the inside. He had the power. He wrote the checks. He could have stopped you, subverted the hope. He could have done it. That's why...
That's why you told him about what I was doing.
Yes.
To get him to do your dirty work for you.
Yes.
Mark was weak. Like his father, genetically unstable, he cracked under the pressure because of you. That's why he crashed his car. Not an accident. It was deliberate. The witnesses all agree on that. Because of you, you killed him.
No, no, your grandson killed himself because of you. Because despite everything, he loved you. And he trusted you. And he couldn't face the truth about what you are.
That's his problem.
You can't mean that.
I can.
You must feel guilt, Alessandra, about what you did. I mean, for pity's sake. I feel guilt, but I'm not to blame. I'm not. You are. You must feel bad about that.
No, I don't.
You can't be that heartless.
Yes, I am.
But at least think again about what you're doing with the Global Future Foundation. Turn it around. Make something worthy of Mark's memory.
You need to go, Bradley. My lawyers will brief you at the exit. You will need to sign some forms. Otherwise, well, I'll sue you and you'll lose your flat, your car, your savings and your future employment prospects.
You have to weep, Alessandra. You have to weep.
I did once. I ran out of tears. Goodbye, Mr. Shoreham.
Alessandra, please.
Don't touch me. Do not touch me. No one touches me. Goodbye.
In The Futurist by Philip Palmer, Bradley Shoreham was played by Tim Woodward, Alessandra Pichetti by Sarah Kesselman, and Mark by Jonathan Bailey. Other parts were played by Chris Pavlo and Mark Edel Hunt. The director was Toby Swift.
Bradley Shoreham returns at the same time next week when he'll be on more familiar ground, testing the emergency services to the full. That's Red and Blue, next Thursday's drama, here on BBC Radio 4.
The BBC iPlayer radio app, wherever you are. Let BBC iPlayer radio take you to where you want to be. Just plug your headphones into your phone or your tablet, spin the dial on the app to BBC Radio 4 and... immerse yourself in one of Radio 4's brilliant dramas.
two horsemen are indeed approaching the castle. One, coming from Glenallan, is at some distance, but the other, moving swiftly along the Tannanburgh Road, is almost upon them.
The BBC iPlayer radio app, for wherever you want to be. Download it now.
BBC News at 3 o'clock. Andy Burnham, one of the four candidates for the Labour leadership, has said the party should listen to Tony Blair, who said that choosing Jeremy Corbyn would end in disaster. Mr Corbyn is seen as the front runner. Mr Burnham said he was the only candidate who could beat him, and he wouldn't withdraw to support either Yvette Cooper or Liz Kendall. He said the party was yearning for change.
I've set out a manifesto that's landing today on doormats around the country. I'm very focused now on those 600,000 voters. I want them to have a big vision for the future, which is what I'm offering, but one that has credibility at its heart, economic credibility, because I believe Labour doesn't get out of first base in terms of winning back power unless we can win back the trust of voters on the economy. And to be honest, I don't believe Jeremy's vision does that.
A spokesman for the official inquiry into the war in Iraq has said that it has no comment to make on a threat to sue the inquiry's chairman. The ultimatum to Sir John Chilcot was made by families of British soldiers who died in the conflict. The relatives said they would take legal action if Sir John didn't publish his findings by the end of the year. Sir John has previously said that he was waiting for responses from some of the people who were expected to be criticised in the report. A bomb has gone off at a vegetable market in the northeast of Baghdad, killing more than 60 people. The Islamic State group said that it had carried out the attack. The government has welcomed this year's A-level results. A record number of students will go on to degree courses, 409,000. But the proportion of pupils achieving A's or A-stars fell slightly. The Education Minister, Nick Gibbs, said that the government had restored confidence in the exams. The Met Office has issued an amber warning of flooding in parts of eastern and southeast England. More rain has fallen in East Sussex in 9 hours than usually falls in a month. And the funeral of the actor George Cole has been held in Reading. His co-star in Minder, Dennis Waterman, gave the eulogy and said that they had laughed together all day long. BBC News.
Open Book in half an hour visits the National Centre for Children's Books in Newcastle upon Tyne to meet the children's author and illustrator Michael Foreman and the history of